Well, you know, the Lord is so powerful and so good. Thank you so much. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. Everybody okay? That's all right. Hudson, hey guys, Hudson's like Ben. It's all right, guys. That's okay. It's okay, Brandy. Hudson's a warrior. We all come here this morning with different things in our life. As we look at this new coming year, I was ministered Wednesday night about standing on the edge of our promise and stepping over into and possessing God's promises. God's made powerful promises to us individually as well as ministry. And this morning, we can't ever forget where God has brought us from and what God is yet to do in our life. But people are people. We forget. Anybody here forget before? Okay, well, maybe you don't forget. All right, I want to learn your secret. I want to learn your secret if you don't forget. I forget. Okay, I'd have to raise both hands and both feet if I could. Because the old saying is, I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached to my shoulder. But there's one thing we can't forget, that God is gracious and he's rich in mercy. And he has blessed you as an individual. And he's blessed this ministry. So this morning, I want to share with you, it's not a strange word, but it might be a peculiar word, because I know that last Sunday was powerfully unique. Sunday before that was powerfully unique. Every Sunday has its own identity. God does something. He places his signature on what he does during that time. And it's all unique. Don't ever put God in a situation that you think he always delivers in the same way, does the same thing. If so, then what is uncommon becomes common to you. And we get complacent in that place. So God is always about changing things up. Changing and rearranging. Because he's got a powerful thing to do. He's got a powerful thing he wants to do here this morning. And God, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm excited. Are you excited about what the Lord is doing? Yes. Amen. I pray, if not, that you will be before this service is over with. I've learned in nearly 40 years going around the block a lot of different ways that there's one thing for sure, that God is faithful, and what he said and what he's promised, he is faithful to do. And this morning, I'm never going to put God in a box and know that God only works in a certain way, because God can do whatever he wants to do. God's been doing this for a long time, and you know, he chooses to use us, but how many knows he's God? You don't have to if you don't want to, because he's God. So this morning, I want you to turn in your Bible with me. You have a Bible. I hope you have a Bible. I hope you have a Bible. And you know what? We covet your prayers this morning. You say, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. That means, I desire your prayers this morning, okay? Is everybody with me? All right. Everybody has their Bible. Turn with me to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. My Bible is like a museum. It's got bookmarks from when I started serving the Lord and worshiping God, until it's got bookmarks and pieces of paper and notes that people wrote me from years ago, okay? How many knows that what we have been doing this morning is defined as praise? How many knows what you have been doing this morning could be defined as praise? I mean, that's not the only way that you praise. That's not the only way that you praise. You know, I saw this on the news this week. This was pretty cool. I saw some children at school. It was an area, regional school here somewhere in Tri-City or somewhere around here. Maybe you saw this clip. And it's before the snow came. I believe it was the last day when they let out school early, okay? I don't think it was in Wise County. It may have been somewhere else. But these kids, the teacher challenged the kids to do a snow dance. You guys look at me like a deer in the headlights. Okay, how many of us know what a snow dance is? If you've ever been in school, Lexi, you've done a snow dance. If you ever had Miss Flannery, how many knows Miss Flannery? Ever heard of Miss Flannery? Kelly, did you ever have Miss Flannery before? You know her, though, don't you? Tina knows her. Miss Flannery, she patented this in her teaching career, that sometimes the winters get long and she needs a school break. If you're a teacher here, you'll appreciate that, okay? You need a little break and you need a day off or two. How many knows what I'm talking about? Parents need a little day off too. That's why you send your kids to school right now. I've heard some parents say in August, I can't wait till school starts. Let's be real, okay? Let's be real. This is going somewhere, okay? I'm not just rambling. But Miss Flannery, she would get her kids together at school, and she'd have them do something called a snow dance. They'd all just jump up and down and, you know, raise their hands and dance for snow. She said it's actually worked. But, you know, in the Tri-Cities Wednesday, it showed this clip of all these little kids. I don't know, they're first graders or something. They were doing this snow dance. I don't know how long they did it. But suddenly, an announcement come across the screen. And the big screen lit up, and they saw the announcement. School is dismissing because of weather. Those kids went crazy. Then they started dancing that much more. They started dancing that much more. How many knows in here this morning? And I'm going to share with you something that's powerful. I feel like it's a relevant word. And it's going to stretch you a whole lot, Clay. It's going to stretch you a whole lot. And you know what? Some of us in this room need stretching. Because really, in actuality, you hold back when it comes to your praise to God. Some of you go to the edge, but you don't want to step out in the deep because of something called control. How many knows that we won't control? As a human, we won't control. We want to control that. We want to control this. We want to be in control. If we're in control, then that means we're not as apt to look crazy, look ridiculous, or, you know, we got to worry about image. We got to worry about our self-interest. We got to worry about those things. But when it comes to praising God, then we got to realize there's nothing that should hold us back from praising the one that loved you, that died for you, that rose again for you, that lifted you out of the mire and the muck of sin and set your foot on a course, on a rock. Everybody ought to have a reason to praise the one who loves you. Amen. So this morning, there's a story behind my praise. Do you have a story behind your praise? Do you have a story behind your praise? Everybody in here's got a story. You've been somewhere. You're going somewhere. You've been through stuff. God's brought you through stuff. Everybody's got a unique story. God give you a story to tell. God give you a story to tell. Not only did he give you a story to tell, but he give you a story to demonstrate praise with, to glorify and magnify him, because he's done something in your life that's been powerful and unique. And every one of you sitting here this morning thinking, what has the Lord done for me? Let me tell you something. He saved you. He raised you. He healed you. He filled you. Listen, and maybe you don't have a reason to praise him. And that's what I'm excited about. But because before this day's over with, God's going to touch you and his great power. And you're going to find a reason to praise him. Turn to somebody and say, I've got a reason to praise him. How many's ever been set free from addiction? Come on, oh, I don't want to raise my hand. Why not? How many's ever been set free from something? How many's ever been delivered from something? How many's ever been spared or saved or delivered? How many in here is real with me this morning? Come on, you got to help me out. Listen, you've got a reason to praise him. Amen. You've got a reason to praise him. And you know, dance is a powerful thing. But for years, people never talked about it in the church. Because they said when people start dancing, it had relationship to things that are sexual, bad, awful, perversion, you know, things like that. But you know what? What God gives us, sometimes the enemy steals it. He steals it and he perverts it. And how many knows that he can do that with anything? But there are seven Hebrew words for praise. And we don't have time to go all those. And that's technical. And some of those you don't need to really know right now. But there's one word, Hebrew word, that identifies everything that we do when it comes to praise. And what's that word, Mrs. R?
Halal.
Did you hear that? Say it out again. Take it real soft. Whoa, thank you. Boy, man, I needed that. Say that soft voice out loud.
Halal.
Tell us what that means.
It means to clamorously rejoice in the Lord, to do so with abandon and what might seem foolish to onlookers.
Wow. Wow. Think about that. Oh, but I got my image. I got my image. I got my image. I got my swag. I got my cool. Oh, I can't get lost like that. I can't get all carried away like that. But listen, we don't think a thing in the world at a ball game jumping up and down. We don't think a thing in the world about it. It's expected that people get into the game, get involved, because they're your kids, right? Some of us get that way and we don't even have a horse in the race. We just get excited because... And we show that exuberance. We show that passion by the way we celebrate, as Tiffany was saying earlier. But this morning, we got to understand that dancing is a part of our human expression. Dancing is something that we get to do. It's not something I have to do. It's something that I want to do, because what God did in my life, you see, he set my feet to dancing. Oh, Jesus. Going to be tough this morning. I can see it. Going to be tough. Because you know what? We got an element in our human existence that fights us and holds us back. And it's called pride. It's called pride. When you take off your pride, as David did, his robe, when he took off his kingly robe, and he danced before his subjects with all his might. And he danced before the ones that despised him. Everybody's not going to understand why you praise him. Everybody's not going to understand why you praise him. Everybody's not going to understand your praise. That's not why you praise. So somebody can see you. You praise and give God glory and dance before him because of what he's done for you. Clay, has he done anything for you? I believe in my collection he has, brother. He put your family back together. That was on a one-way track to destruction. But God, rich in mercy, rescued you and your family and your marriage and gave you a reason to hope and praise Him. Amen. Everybody in this room has got a reason to praise Him. All right, I'm going to get to the text. There's a reason we praise Him. There's a reason we dance. There's a reason I dance. There's a reason you dance this morning. It's not just to be dancing, jumping up and down. But there's a reason you dance. There's a reason you lift your hands. There's a reason you lift your voice. There's a reason you do that. There's a reason you do that. How many has ever heard of a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth? Okay. He's a great preacher of the faith. God used him to raise different people from the dead. This was back in the early to mid 1900s. This man had powerful faith, but he was a man who had like passions as we did. He's a man who had passions. But he said this about dancing. Listen to this. I wrote this down and I remember this. This is his quote. This is him speaking. I don't ever ask Miss Wigglesworth how he feels. That's what he said. In other words, I don't ever ask myself or Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. You know what he does? He said, I got up every day. I jump out of bed. I dance before the Lord at least 10 to 12 minutes every day. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. He says, I just dance before the Lord 10 or 12 minutes. Not just slow dancing, but high speed dancing. I jump up and down. I run around my room telling God how great He is, how wonderful He is, how glad I am to be associated with Him and to be His child. How many knows you've got a reason to dance? Amen. And if you can only dance here, then you haven't caught on yet. How many knows that we've all got a reason to express our worship and our gratitude to God every day that we live? There's a reason I dance. So let's go to the scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're not going to be lengthy. 6. Is everybody there with me? If you're there, say amen. And I want you to look at verse 17. I ministered this so many times over the years. And if you can stand for the reading of God's word, that's fine. If you can't, that's okay also. But, you know, I ministered several weeks ago, a couple months ago, from this same chapter about a man by the name of Obed-Edom. How many members that man I ministered about, okay? But out of this same chapter, we read about this other man. His name was David. The Bible says in verse 17, if you're with me, say amen. And the Bible says, so they brought the ark of the Lord and they set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle, and David erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, look back in the scriptures before that, and I want you to read some other scriptures right here. The Bible says in verse 12 and verse 13, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from his house from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. With gladness. Everybody say gladness. With gladness. With gladness. He didn't do it out of religious duty, but he did it with gladness. Why are you here this morning? I believe it has to be more than religious duty. Anybody get out in 8-degree weather has to be a little bit more than religious duty. Are you with me? Say amen. All right. In verse 13, so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and the fatted sheep. And the Bible said this is David's response to this moment, what was happening. And the Bible said that David danced before the Lord with all his might. Everybody say all. There's a part of you that don't get involved in the dance, in the praise. That's the part that we need to get over so that God can do something in us. Amen. There's a part of you that wants to hang on to your image, and you're worried about what people think about you. We really do. You're sitting there saying, all cool and everything. I don't worry about what people think about me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And we worry a lot when it comes to openly expressing our praise. We worry about it a lot when it comes to witnessing our faith outside these walls. We're worried about what people think. I don't want somebody to think I'm a fanatic. I don't want somebody to think I'm crazy. They're going to think it anyway. You got to get over it. I've been a long time knowing that people thought I was crazy. That's all right. I'm not going to answer before the Lord. It's the Lord I'm going to answer to one day, not to people. So David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Everybody shout all. And David was wearing a linen ephod. You may be seated. Amen. So this morning there's a reason David danced. Not going to be long, but I'm going to share with you just quickly here. There's a reason David got beside himself here in this particular thing, and I hope you're with me today. It's important that you be with me. God can do so much more when we're all together, when we're on the same page. There's a reason David danced that day. You've got a reason that you dance and celebrate. I've seen some of you in another world dancing and worshiping God. I've seen some of you not worrying about what people think. I've seen some of you on your face before the Lord, tears streaming down your face. I don't believe you worried about what the people thought that day, Kathy, when your daughter came to the Lord. I've seen mothers express their joy in what their kids did, but I've never seen a mother like that. Because you know what? Nobody may not understand your praise, but God understands your praise. And so the day that young lady come, the day that she come out of her seat and she came forth and surrendered her life to Christ, I've never seen such an expression of emotion from Kathy. I thought she was just going to plow her right in that altar. She came and she fell on her knees with such exuberant force. Because she was in the moment. She was in the moment of what was happening. And she celebrated at the end because she had a reason to praise and dance. She had a reason to dance that day. She had a reason to dance that day. She had a reason to dance. And before the service is over with, we all got reasons to dance. I was going to show you a clip, but I'll show you at the end. But David didn't hold anything back that day when they brought the presence of God. Let me tell you what the ark was real quickly. How many understands what the ark of the covenant was? Raise your hand if you sort of understand what the ark of the covenant was. It was a chest, a 3x5 chest, a beautiful chest overlaid with gold. There was golden staves. There were golden poles that they stuck through the eye rings on each side of the chest, and they carried that. And it was holy. It was a place where God promised his people that he would come down and his Shekinah glory would dwell on the mercy seat after the blood was applied. That ark represents something to you and I. In the Old Testament, it's just a box. It's a holy box. And somebody said it's been lost, but God knows where it is. And one day, in his powerful purpose, that box may be seen again. It may be seen again. I don't know in future events. There's different theologians have different kinds of beliefs about that. But nevertheless, it was significant to the people of God. When God had Moses make that ark, he told him it represented something. It represented his presence and his power and his provision and his protection. All those were about that ark. Because wherever the ark went, that's where God went. It was God's covenant to his people. I'm going to show up and I'm going to meet my people at the mercy seat, at the ark. Let me tell you something. We have another ark. And his name is Jesus. Amen. We have another mercy seat. And his name is Jesus. We have another power. And it's Jesus' power. We have another provision. And that's God's provision for you through his son Jesus. We have his presence. We have his protection. All in the person of Jesus Christ. How many is with me right now? So the ark was significant. But for 80 years it had been misplaced. For 80 years it was gone. It was captured by their enemies. You know the story of Dagon. You know how the ark ended up and the idol Dagon fell. You know how the people who misused God's power were struck with an illness and a disease. And many of them died. You know that the ark represented the holiness, the presence of God. Today we have the ark in a different form, in the person of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the ark resides in you, my friend. The ark resides in you. The presence of God is in you. The presence of God is in you. The Lord is in you. It is God that goes before you. It is God that blesses you. And so here David was 80 years. David was getting ready to be crowned as a king. He was getting ready to be coronated as a king. And here David was, the king of Israel. David was set in place as a king, an anointed king. And he did something powerful that no king before him had ever done. How many knows that Jesus did something that no king has ever done before? I said Jesus has done things that no king has ever done before. Never a man ever spake like this man. Never a man ever spake like this man. Never a man ever spake like this man. So here David was ready to be crowned king. Not just the king of Judah, which he was anointed, but the king of all of Israel. So here he was. One of his primary goals as a new king was to unite the two kingdoms and become one king and one kingdom. That's what David did. David, his primary job is what he wanted to do was in his heart to restore worship also to Israel. To restore worship, the tabernacle, dwelled among God's people to have a place to worship God. David worshiped God in a way that kings before him had never worshiped before. Because David was passionate about the God that he served. He delighted in his God, and his God delighted in him. How many remembers the scripture that said that David was a man who sought after God's own heart? How many's ever remember that scripture before? In 2017, you want to be a people of God, Lost Creek, that seeks after God's heart. Amen. Not seek after his hands, but seek after his heart. So David's job was to restore Israel, to unite the kingdoms, to bring the capital and not be just a bunch of nomads running through the desert and through the area, but to bring his people together as one, to worship one God in one location. That was at Jerusalem. You know what David did? This is what David did. He purchased Jerusalem. He was the first king to take that land and buy it. But his intention was to bring worship to Israel, to restore the presence of God in his rightful place. Your life is going to always be out of sync until God is in his rightful place. God purposed a plan in your life. Your life will never, you can fill your life with things. You can do things to make your life happy. You can do a lot of things about your life. But your life will never be complete until you're walking in the purpose and plan of God. God has a place for his. God's got a place that only He can reside in. No boyfriend, no girlfriend, no relationship, no money, no success. None of that stuff can take the place of God. It does take the place of God, but you'll never be happy. You'll never have joy. You'll never have full joy, unspeakable and full of glory, until the King is reigning in His rightful place. I'm closing quickly here. You see, this morning, Jesus reigns and rules. And He may not reign over your life. He may not be the King of your life, the Lord of glory in your life. But nevertheless, He's still King. So David was crowned as a king, and he restored worship. And before he could do that, he had to bring the presence of God back to Jerusalem. So here he was. 80 years, he finally found the ark. And David, in scriptures before this, brought the ark into Jerusalem, but he did it his way. He did it his way. How many knows that we like to do things our way? Oh, come on, get real with me. Oh, no, Pastor R, I'm always reverent to the Lord. I always do things God's way. God bless you. If we all did things God's way, we wouldn't be in the mess that our lives get in sometimes. Amen? I have to be the first to shout hallelujah. Amen? Because my life hasn't been always about doing things God's way. People want to have it their way. And worship, people want to have it their way. I'm not going to worship God that way. I'm not going to believe it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. You know, God loves you. You know what God does? He says, okay, go ahead. How many of us say God does that? God gives you permission to do it your way. He gives you permission to do it your way, but we get in trouble. David got in trouble there when he brought the ark the first time into the city of Jerusalem, because they forgot that there was explicit directions for handling the ark, the presence of God. So they put it on a new cart. I love the fact that God does new things. But not everything we do is a God thing. Not everything we do is a God thing. Not everything that we do in our life is a God thing. And so they brought the ark on a new cart. They knew that they had to carry it on staves with those poles. And they had to keep a certain distance, and there were explicit directions that God had them transport the ark. But David got a little overconfident in his knowledge and his understanding of God and his relationship, and he decided, well, maybe through exuberance, maybe through excitement, I'm going to bring the presence of God. But he forgot about God's way. And so he brought it the first time, and it was an expensive lesson, because the cart brought in on that new cart hit a low spot, hit a place, and the Bible says that the cart tilted, and the ark tilted, and Uzzah, how many's ever heard of Uzzah in the Bible? He reached up. He didn't do it on purpose. He wasn't saying, I'm trying to be mean to God, I'm trying to be disrespectful or unholy, but he just reached up and touched the ark in a wrong way. And the Bible says, there he died before the Lord. Think about that. He died before the Lord. You know what? God is moving in our earth. God's moving in the church. God's moving in this last day. And there are people being filled and healed. There are people being set free. God's doing amazing things in their life. But yet, there are people dying before the presence of God. There's still people dying religiously before the presence of God. There are people that are dying in a religion, stuck in a cold, dried relationship, and their life is dying. What you need is the powerful presence, real presence of Jesus in your life, giving you life. So finally, they couldn't get it in. And David said, I'm upset. David wept. He got mad. He got angry. He couldn't believe it. And so the Bible said he sent it to the house of Obed-Edom. And there the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's house. It stayed there 3 months. Boy, you're talking about revival in Obed-Edom's house. Some powerful things happened so much that when the ark finally left, Obed-Edom said, I'm going where he's going. I'm going where the Lord's going. How many knows that we need to go where the Lord is? We need to be where the Lord is. Do you hear what I'm saying? As a ministry, we can't get too sophisticated, too high tech, too this, too that, to realize the presence of God has brought us here. It's the presence of God. It's going to keep us going to the next level. Amen. You know what ministries do? They get too big for the britches. They forget about the presence of God. Damon Thompson said, we've learned how to have church without a king. We've learned how to have church without the presence of God. Just sing a song, just preach a sermon. You know, nobody's going to tell the difference. But how many know without the presence of God, Ichabod could be written over your door? You know what the word Ichabod means? The Ichabod means the presence of the Lord has departed. And that's what happened to Eli's sons. One of his sons had a child. And she named the child Ichabod because the ark had left. And the fathers of the child had died. And they wrote over the door of that family and that home, the presence of God has departed. Listen, I don't want to be a reminder to future generations what it was to have the presence of God, the powerful presence of God. And did us get carried away in ourselves and do our own thing and forget it's the presence of God that got us here. It's the presence of God that's going to keep us going. You can't do anything without His presence. I learned a powerful lesson in preaching many years ago. I got blessed in ministry years ago. I get up and God blessed me. The anointing was powerful. Man, I preach different than I do now. You think I get excited sometimes? Man, some of my kids probably remember. Maybe you do. I could probably scare people. I don't know. Not in a bad way, but I mean. But I remember back early on when I started ministering, I got overconfident. And God taught me a powerful lesson. God had blessed. People were being blessed. And I figured out that I had this thing figured out. Bad mistake. When you think you got God figured out, wrong place. Wrong place. So I got up one day, I was going to minister, and I said, man, I've got this. Woo, I've got this. I'm telling you, God gave me amnesia. I don't know, maybe you don't appreciate that. I could not remember my name. I'm telling you, I got so tongue-tied that I couldn't even say a word. I tried to fumble through the scripture. I couldn't say a word. I don't know if Kathy remembers that. And I just humbly bowed my head and closed the book, the precious word of God, and sat down. People were encouraging to me afterwards. You know, they were encouraging me. Good job, Pastor R. But I knew that I blew that test. I knew that I flunked it. I knew that I flunked it. But did I flunk it? Really, I learned a powerful lesson. That we can't do anything apart from the presence of God. And sometimes God gives you enough line, enough rope, you can learn that lesson. You can't do anything. You couldn't get up this morning without the presence of God. You can't make it through the day without the presence of God. You can't breathe without the presence of God. We can't do anything without the presence of God. How important it is. David knew this. That's why the second time he brought it back, the ark, into the city of Jerusalem, he was excited about it. He was excited the first time, but he did it the wrong way. Now he had a chance with God's help to do it the right way. You have a chance with God's help this morning, and you have it to get your life back on track. If there's one goal for your new year, it ought to be on God's page and to get back on track. Amen? Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It sounds like I'm speaking to myself sometimes. Or maybe the Lord is speaking to us and helping us know that we all need to be on God's page. We all need to be connected. We all need to get together. Turn to somebody and say, get it together. So this is what David did. He abandoned all pride. There was a reason David danced. There was a reason David danced. There's a story behind my praise. You already knew the story. As David took off his kingly robe, you got to understand what David did that day. In the very simplistic, most powerful way of humility, David took off his kingly robe. That was never heard of. You didn't do that. You had to present yourself a certain way to demand respect from your subjects. So lower yourself to the part that some theologians said he danced naked. He didn't really dance naked. But in the eyes of his subjects, he may have been naked, looked naked, because he had on just a priestly linen ephod. This undergown garment that he had on, which symbolizes something. You got to get a hold of this. Say, get a hold. David took and his kingly robe off, and he took on the linen ephod, which represented a servant's heart. A servant's heart. David knew what it was to be a servant. Do you understand that? David knew what it was. Yes, he knew what it was to kill a giant, Goliath. He knew what it was to kill a lion with his hands. He knew what it was to kill a bear with his hands. He knew what it was to rescue his father's sheep. He knew what it was to do all those things. He knew what it was to flee, to go back to Ziklag and take everything that the enemy had stolen from him and restore his family. He knew what all that was about in the wilderness. He knew what it was to have the presence of God. There's a reason David danced that day. There's a reason David danced that day. You've got a reason to dance today. Amen. You've got a reason to dance today. Don't start looking back. Don't start looking back to the table of contents and trying to think of a way. You've got a reason to dance. You've got a reason to dance. Amen. If there ought to be any people on this planet dancing, it ought to be the people of God. People will leave church and they'll go to the nightclub and dance, but they won't dance here. Can you understand? And I can say, how many of you have ever done that before? Nobody's hands are probably going to raise, probably. We can boot scoop boogie. Let me do a little Raunchy Silcox here. We can boot scoop boogie. You know, we can get on our cowboy boots and we can line dance. We can boogie with the best. But when it comes to just opening our heart and giving God our all and praise, we stumble and we lose our way. So there's a reason David danced. There's a reason you can dance this morning. There's a reason you could dance. God gave you a reason to dance. God gave you a reason to dance. He danced before the Lord with all of his heart in his linen ephod. Now, he just didn't run through the town like this. Oh, man. I wish I was acrobatic. Do we have any acrobats in here? If I was an acrobat, I would do a little acrobatic stuff right now. Stay with me now. Some of you act like you're losing me here. You're getting too far out there, Pastor R. Now you're getting a little radical. But David, the ark was behind him. So he came to the city and he opened the gates. And here he was leading the ark in a procession, taking the ark back into the temple where it belonged. And David, before his subjects, before his wife even, that he didn't even know was watching her. You know, the Bible says, and theologians said, Michael should have been down there dancing with him. Because she was like the queen of the princesses of Israel. So she should have been down there dancing with him. But she couldn't, and she despised her husband. We got a lot of Michaels in our life, don't we? We got a lot of Michaels that criticize you because you're into God. You got a lot of Michaels that don't understand why you're praising him. You got a lot of Michaels that don't understand why you get out in 8-degree weather this morning and come to the house of God. You should be at home eating peanut butter and jelly and with your big house shoes, your big house shoes on, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying there's a reason people don't understand why you praise him. But David did something that no king had done. He danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. Danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. He didn't wait for the Holy Ghost to hit him. The Holy Ghost was already there. He danced before the Lord. He didn't wait for a feeling. He was obedient to God with all of his might. Supposed to have four, but we don't. That's going to be the ark. I'm closing soon here, guys. Get on each side of it. Go back to the back. That was the presence of God. And David, it was a golden chest where the glory of God came down and met his people. And David was ready to take it back into the place that was missing it. You know, some of you this morning, God has been out of place in your life for a while. God wants me to tell you that he's been out of place in your life for a while. And you've been trying to fill in all the blanks with your own agenda. And you're still in the same place you was. You're still in the same place. You still don't have joy. You still don't have peace. You still don't have victory. You're still struggling. And I'm not saying that we quit struggling when we come to the Lord. We may even struggle more things that come against us. But there's one thing about David was going to make sure the presence of God ended up in his place. God's goal this morning, the Holy Spirit's goal, is to ensure you that God needs to be in his place. He needs to be in his rightful place this morning. There's a place that only God can fill. Quit trying to fill your life with stuff. You could never fill the Grand Canyon with BBs. Built wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow, and you'll never fill your life where God belongs with things. And so here it was, the ark was coming down, being carried the way it should, one in front, one in the back. Here David was. I will dance like David danced. I don't know. Come on, Holy Ghost filled worship leader up there. Come on, super mode. David danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. Yes, yes, Cassie, yes. He danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord with all his might. They put the ark in its place. Now here's what I want you to get out of this, Bobby Potter. He took off dignity. Because your self-interest is going to get in the way of your worship, God. Cassie, man, wow. I could shout what you did. She wasn't afraid about what anybody thought about her. This is a teenager. Teenagers, you worry about what people think about. Listen, she wasn't worried. She said, there comes Pastor R. He's like David, and he's dancing with all his Lord. I'm going to get in there and dance with all my might. That's the very thing God's trying to tell you today. Quit being cool and just be Jesus. Amen. You can sit it down, guys. Thank you. So David took off his pride, his dignity, his self. He humbled himself. That's what Jesus did for us. He took off his kingly robes and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he became obedient, Paul says, to death. Not just to death, but the death of the cross. He opened his life up in open shame. He was hung between the heavens and the earth with hardly anything on. And he allowed God to get back into the place in your heart that God purposed always. But it was Jesus' example. It was Jesus' sacrifice. Listen, friend, praise is about a sacrifice sometimes. If you wait till you feel the moment or the mood, you're going to be waiting a long time sometimes. If you wait to feel a certain nudge, and that's awesome when that happens sometimes, that's a benefit. But don't always put it in the bank. You get to express your worship, the praise today to Jesus, because you've got a reason to dance. You've got a reason to praise him today. If anybody on this earth has a reason to praise him, you've got a reason the angels don't have. Oh, you missed a chance to shout right there. You've got a reason the angels don't even have. You know, one day when we enter into that powerful place, that awesome place of God, one day physically, there's going to be a number. John said that no man can number from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue are going to assemble together. And we're going to be there at the King of Kings coronation. Do you know that? You've got a place reserved through the blood of Jesus, a place at his coronation. But you're going to sing a song one day. Think about that. You're going to file down Heaven's Avenue in a chorus that's never been heard before, in a procession that's never been seen before. Oh, I wish somebody would get with me this morning. Quit thinking about just for a moment. Don't think about the NBA or the NFL. Just for a moment, think about what God's saying right here. You're going to sing a song. The Bible says, John said, where are these? Where have they come from? These are those that were said to the elders that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And I saw a number that could not be numbered. Sister Mary's in that number. Rick, do you know that? I said, do you know that? Robbie, are you listening back there? Your mommy and daddy's in that number. Do you know that? You've got something to shout about, brother. You ought to be in here shouting with me. Amen. Get mad at me if you want to. Get mad. Get mad. Get mad. Get mad. Get mad. That's inside you. That's inside of you. That's inside of you. I've never seen anything like that before. Whoa, Pastor, what kind of crazy place is this? Somebody show me where the door is. You're going to be in that number one day, friend. You're going to sing a song the angels can't even sing. It could go something like this. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed, Ginger, by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not there because I've been good. I'm not there because I followed the rules. I'm not there because I did this or did that, Lexi. I'm there because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, the story behind my praise. I've been redeemed. I was corruptible. I was no good. I was broken goods. I was garbage. I was trashed, ready to be taken out. And Jesus touched me. And He lifted me from the mire and the clay of sin. And He set my foot on a rock. And He gave me a reason to rejoice. Rick, you need to dance. You need to dance. You need to dance. Wow. Imagine David. Could you imagine him sitting still? No way. No way. People criticize me all the time because I'm moving around all the time. I can't sit still. My wife will tell you, I can't sit still at home. She said yesterday, she was talking about somebody, someplace in the world had 18 hours of daylight. She said, I said, wow, I'd like to live there. 18 hours of daylight. She said, you wouldn't make it very long. I get excited, Kelly. I get excited. I get excited, Bree. I get excited, Chess. I've got something to dance about. Do you got something to dance about? You need to remind yourself, I got something to dance about. At one time, you gave your praise to the devil. You danced in the honky-tonks, and you didn't do it distinctly. You didn't do it. You did it sometimes not soberly. Out of your head. Crazy. Partying. But now, man, you got really something to party about. You got something really to party about. Steve, I like it. I've got a high that the world can't give me. I'm not going to jerk you up. I've got a reason to dance. Turn to three people and say, I've got a reason to dance. It was a sign of God's restoration. Oh, Jesus. Do I have time for this scripture right here? Okay, thank you. Two people have said that. You know, Pastor likes to hear things like that. Woo! Yes! Yes! Hang there with me. We'll sit in the movie theater for 3 hours. Cry our eyes out. If it's sad. Jeremiah 31. You guys are awesome this morning. 31, 4, and 13. There's a reason I dance, because God's restoring my life. He not just did restore my life, but He's in process of restoring my life.
Amen.
You're not the finished product. Boy, you should be thankful you're not. I said, you're not the finished product. Be like the kids. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. God's still working on me. We're a work of restoration and progress. 31 and 4. may have to get somebody to read this because my eyes are full of salt and sweat. The Lord said to Israel, again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. Wow. I'm in the master's garage. Man, he's doing a work. This ministry is in the master's hand and he's doing a work. And I will build you and you shall be rebuilt, O virgins of Israel. And you shall again be adorned with your tambourines. And you shall go out in the dances of those who rejoice. Not only has he given you something to dance about in the past, but he's going to give you something to dance about in the future. Hallelujah. You have a future with Christ. Hang there with me. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. Then shall we rejoice in the dance. Does the heart of the Father good to see his kids dance and play before him? Don't let religion tell you that's improper to dance. No, not, there's no scripture for that. It's proper. Praise is commonly, the Bible says. Praise is what you should be doing. Praise should be what we are doing. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. You see why I get excited, Clay, when young people or old people are at Remnant JoJo worshiping God up here, and you got the Hadleys, you got the Elis, you got the Paytons, you got the Jakes, you got all these little kids. You got Bryson, you got all these kids right here. Excellent here on Sunday morning, Judah, just praising God. We look at those kids saying, oh, how cute. The warriors, they're worshiping, they're praising God. They ain't worried about who sees them. They ain't worried about, they're not worried about, dignity goes out the door. I'm saying some of you this morning needs to take off your kingly robe. Humble yourselves and worship God. When we praise God and we praise Him with a dance, you know what it's really a symbol of? Hang with me. It's a symbol that we've truly been set free from something. Some people can't dance because they're still bound up. You're bound up by fear and pride. Some of you here in this room right here this morning, just because of the craziness of me, you look around, you're a little bit embarrassed. I don't care who sees me, praise God. Get up here, big boy. You get those feet to dance. 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 You've got something to dance about. You've got something to dance about, Marine. Wow. Let me slip out here before Pastor comes back to me. I promise you, I'm not going to do that. When we dance, there's a time that we cry. There's a time that we mourn. There's a time that we grieve. There's a time we rejoice. There's a time that we dance. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, it's a healthy thing. Dance is a healthy thing, not for your cardio. It's a healthy thing for your countenance, your person, spiritually. It should be what we do. It should be what we dance. You should dance in the house. Dance in your dorm. Go out on a praise break at your work outside the office there somewhere. Take your little dance break. They're going to look at you and say, oh, no, now, wait a minute. Call in a drug test, okay? And then you get to say, listen, if you only knew the high I was on, amen, you can take all the screens you want. You can take all the screens you want. I'm high on Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. Come on, Steve. dance. Dance before the Lord. Dance before the Lord. And the last thing, keep dancing. Don't you let me stop you. Dancing before the Lord celebrates God's victory. Celebrates God's victory. It celebrates God's victory. Oh, somebody needs to read that. I can't even see it. Whose is that? Is that yours? You're going to read it.
And those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music.
That needs to be a sign in the new ministry right there up on the wall where everybody can see it. Amen. We dance by the beat of His drum. We dance by the song of His lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got a reason to dance. I've got the victory. Amen. Don't hold your head down. Lift your head up. Lift your eyes up. Your redemption draws nigh. You've got a reason to dance. You've got a reason to dance. No wonder the man who was lame. No wonder, boo, that this lame man that was at the gate called Beautiful. Peter and John gave him not silver and gold, but gave him Jesus that day. The Bible says he got a hold of the Lord and received strength. He ran through the temple, leaping and praising God before. You see, he had a reason to dance. He'd never used those legs before. But now finally, he could walk in a new destiny, a new purpose. Amen. You've got a reason to dance. Amen. Lord Jesus, come on. Come on, somebody. I can't dance. You've got a great partner. His name is Yeshua. Jesus, amen. He's the Lord of the dance. He's the Lord of the dance. In fact, right now, you know what he's doing right now? He's dancing over you, amen. He's dancing over you, amen. My people, my children, amen. They've got victory. I've gave them victory, amen. I've set them free. I've delivered them. I redeemed them. I gave them purpose and plan. They've got a reason to dance and praise me. Wow. Amen. God wants to stretch some of you right now. You know what? I'm going to be brave enough to say this right now. There's some of you right now. You can't wait to start dancing. In fact, you're already moving. Your feet's already moving. You can't wait. You can't wait. What are you waiting on? 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 Come on! What are you waiting on? We're going to celebrate in a way that maybe you've never experienced before. You know, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that God is going to increase the size of our dance floor up there, okay? I said, I can't wait till God increases the size, Harless, of our dance floor. Amen? I'm going to ask you to do something right now, this morning, in this room. You said, Pastor R., I'm here this morning, but I'm troubled. I'm broken. My life is bound. I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with depression. Things have me bound. My pride is getting in my way. Things are in my way. But this morning, I really want to know freedom. I really want to know what it is to be free in the Lord this morning. Not worry about what people think about me. Not worry about... Listen, what religion says. Not worry about these things. Just know that if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm really free. And I want every believer right now to pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. God, set somebody free here today. Set somebody's soul to dance. Set somebody's feet to dancing, Lord. First of all, set their heart to dancing. And I know if their heart is dancing, their feet will dance also. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray if you're here this morning and you really want to be set free in your heart, just simply slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, I need that freedom today. I need that freedom. Raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. Who else this morning? Just slip your hand up with mine. Listen, God is a gentleman. He's not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I promise you that. God's real. His power is real. His presence is real. Anybody else, slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor, I really want to be free this morning. I really want to be free. You're getting ready to dance like you've never danced before. But you got to get your heart free first, friend. You got to get your heart free first. So I'm going to ask you right now, in the name of the Lord, those that raised their hand, to come right now. And we're going to all pray with you right now. We're going to all pray with you right now. Come on, just come right on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these families that are coming. These families need prayer. These families need prayer right now. I want my heart free first, Lord. I want my heart free. Will I want my heart free? If my heart's free, my feet will be free. If my heart's free, anyone else? Anyone else? There's people finding freedom up here today. Finding freedom up here today. Setting their heart free so their soul can dance. Amen. So their spirit can leap and dance. Like a heart dancing through the forest, skipping through the forest. Oh, Father God. Kelly, he sets my feet to dancing. Can you come and help us, brother? Can you come and help us? Come on. Set our heart free. Set our heart free. Free, free. Some of you right now struggling with that. Free. A newfound freedom this year. A newfound freedom. You're going to dance in the place you thought you died. You're going to dance in the place you thought you'd die in. You're going to dance in the place you thought you'd die. Do you hear that, Will? Do you hear that, Will? Wherever you are, Will. Whoa, God's setting people free right now. He's setting hearts free right now. Free from addiction, free from depression, free from hopelessness, free from pride, free from jealousy, free. Free. A brand new child of God right here. I said a brand new child of God. Right here. All right, I'm going to ask you to do something right here. I'm going to ask the Lord. The Lord's going to stretch you. And some of you, even while you're dancing this morning, you're going to get set free and you're dancing. Yes, yes, yes. Listen. Remember what Smith Wigglesworth said? He didn't have a praise band when he got up first thing in the morning. He didn't even have iTunes. He just danced before the Lord. Kathy, I remember you battling depression. I remember you. going through surgeries. I remember you going through the house. I remember you dancing in the house, dancing, running throughout the house, lifting your hands, shouting and praising God. Nobody there, just you and the Lord. Remember that. Remember that. Let me tell you something. I want you to do something this morning heaven is already doing. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. I want you to be a part of what heaven is already a part of this morning. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what they're doing over in heaven right now? Let me tell you what angels are doing. This brother come and receive the blood of the Lamb. You know what angels are doing? Worthy! 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 Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah! You've got a reason, Miss Selena, to dance. Amen. Don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to your body. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says this morning, if you'll dance and you'll worship Him with reckless abandonment, that which you petitioned me for, the Lord says, I'll be faithful and just to bless with that need in your life. Amen. I believe it's going to start with your obedience. Amen. Your obedience, not what you feel. So, for a second, for a chorus, we don't want any music. Yes, that's right, Miss Jenny. You get to do something that you don't get to do a lot. And so do these musicians right here. You said, this is the craziest place I've ever been in my life. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's what David told Michael. That's right.
What did you just say?
Those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music.
Do you hear the music?
Amen. Do you hear the music? Do you hear the music this morning? The music's here. Henry, the music's here. The music's here. The music's here. The music's there. Just dance. Just dance. I know it's crazy. I know it's foolish. I know people might look at you and say, who are these bunch of crazy people? Don't worry about what people think. Come on. Some of you need to lose your dignity. You need to lose pride. And you need to dance before the Lord. Come on. Don't wait for me because I stopped. Don't stop.